Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what Jewish surnames refer to precious gems and how were they acquired? For two decades, Alejandro Rubinstein has studied the origins, meaning, and evolution of given names and surnames that have Jewish connotations. He spoke with us about all of these aspects, as well as how names are chosen and why some people change them. Alejandro is also doing a new weekly program, El Buen Nombre, in Spanish on Radio Sefarad, in which he goes into these aspects in greater depth. And I recommend it to all our Spanish-speaking listeners.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Alejandro. Could you first tell us a little about yourself, your own background?
Well, I'm a Mexican citizen. I started in order to be an attorney at law. And even though I did work on that subject for a couple of years, most of my life I spent in the insurance business, which was a family-owned business. And in the meantime, I had several interests, particular interests, that I tried to delve in. And one of them was genealogy. And why did I got into genealogy? It was a, well, by chance, let's say that way. My wife was spending a lot of time shopping. So I got into a bookstore, and I got into a book. I just read the title of the book, and I was very much interested in onomastics, Jewish onomastics. And I read it, and I thought it was a very interesting subject. I should study it. And since then, which is about 20 years ago, I went on studying and, well, making a lot of things in this onomastics subject.
Because rather than going into the origins of individual names, your interest is more general, right? The origins, the meaning, the evolution of given names and surnames, but more in a general way, am I right?
Well, you're right. Even though I like to look at the whole spectrum, I do analyze, of course, the meaning of the names, which is important, but not the most important thing. I very much enjoy analyzing the geographical evolution and historical evolution of the names, mostly Jewish surnames, which is my, I should rather say that's my specialty. But I have done a long research on the matter, of course, of first names.
When do Jewish surnames first appear in history? Is it the same for the Ashkenazi names and the Sephardic names?
No, definitely not. We should say that all the people who believe or are part of the Jewish people, they should recognize that their first origin was Sephardic. And even not Sephardic, it would have been Mizrahi, which is most more indicated in this part of the world. I'm actually in Israel. The reality is that most of the Jews were basically from Mizrahi origin, and then they came to be because of the diaspora, they went on to other countries, and then they became Sephardic. And after many, many centuries, we, the Ashkenazic, appeared on the map. So Sephardic surnames started on the 10th century of the Common Era, more as a obligation that was established by the kings of Spain of that era. And then on, about 4 to 6 centuries later on, the Ashkenazic surnames started because the Ashkenazic people started to be on the map.
What kind of surnames did they have? What did they refer to? Where did they come from?
Well, surnames is a very varied subject, because they could be surnames based on patronymics, which is the names of the fathers. Then they came the toponymics, which is the surnames that are derived from the place names. And the place names could be analyzed as towns, cities, regions, even countries. And many surnames come from that consideration. Of course, there are the occupational surnames, and there are other kinds, which are the artificial or acquired surnames that started on the 19th century. Basically, most of them are from Ashkenazic origin. And we have also metronymics, which are the names that are derived from the mother's name. And they're, of course, inspirational, derived from Jewish festivities or part of the religious, the religious way of doing things. Or even names of articles in the service. We have also surnames from colors. We have surnames that are considered derogatory. And those are surnames that were given forcibly to Jews on the beginning of the 19th century. And they went on even to this time. They have been changed in a way, but not all of them. And now that we talk about changing of surnames, of course, there are the Hebraized surnames.
Can you give us an example of a derogatory surname?
Yes, there are definitely many, but I will tell you the first one that comes to my mind. There's a derogatory surname that is Schmaltz. Schmaltz, I don't know if that has to be explained. Or there are other kinds of surnames like Borgenecht, which means you shouldn't lend him a penny. Or a Schlechter, which means a mean person.
How were people given these surnames? In other words, when a family needed a surname or whatever, who gave it to them and on what did they base it? Or did the family itself choose the surname originally?
It's an interesting question, but it has to be analyzed in the history, first of all. At the end of the 18th century, the Empress of the Austro-Hungarian Imperial was Maria Therese, and she started to establish the obligation for all citizens, including non-Christian citizens, to have surnames. And that experience came on to Napoleon. Napoleon established in his new civil code the possibility for Jews to emancipate with the new France and with the new face of the humanity that was coming to that era and the beginnings of the 19th century. People took names from their fathers or their places or their occupations, as I explained. But if they had money, they acquired surnames like mine. Rubinstein is an acquired surname. But there were other people, most of them, who didn't have a penny. So when the police came to a town or a city and they requested for a document that proved that they had acquired or had an official surname, either they disregarded the name that that person had in order to get some money from that person, or they simply bullied the person and established that surname a derogatory surname.
So in other words, your family wanted this particular surname and they paid to get it?
Oh, definitely. Most of the surnames that I end with a suffix of Stein, S-T-E-I-N, which means in German, basically, it means stone. So it depends on the kind of money your family had, the kind of stone you could buy. So my family had some money because we are Rubensteins. So we are the stone of ruby. But if we were even a bit richer, we would be emeralds. And then we would be greensteins. Or we would have diamonds, and then we would become diamond.
What makes the surnames Jewish? I mean, how can you tell if a surname is Jewish? Because there are other let's say, cultures that also have patronymics like Mac and Irish and Scottish surnames that certainly are not considered Jewish. What makes a surname have this Jewish connotation?
Well, basically, I should say that we, all Jews, we use surnames, but we don't have surnames. And that's a most important thing, because Jews are to be different from other people. That's what is established in the Bible. So being different means that only commoners had surnames. We are not commoners, and we should never use surnames to identify nor within ourselves, and not, of course, with other people. But as I told you, there were decrees that made an obligation for Jews to take surnames as part of their lives. And then either they used them exclusively at that time, or they were established by the crown or by the government of the place, certain surnames that were, appropriate, to use an euphemism, appropriate for the use of the Jewish subjects.
For example?
Well, Newman, if it's written with the last one N and not with two N's, then it's an appropriate Jewish surname. So when you use the double N, either you are German Christian or, and of course, non-Jewish, or you try to have a German surname in order to avoid to being recognized as a Jewish person.
Yeah, we do recognize the M-A-N with one N as being Jewish. So who established that? Was that established by the authorities, that one N would be Jewish?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh.
Definitely. Yeah, there's many bodies of law that establish the kinds of surnames that the Jews had in the different territories of the European map.
Let's speak a little bit about given names, because I know in a program that you did recently in Spanish for Radio Sefarad, you talked about different names by which a person can be known. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Jewish people, we all have at least two personal names, which means that we have a Shem Kadosh in Hebrew, which is the, to make a bad translation, it's a holy name. And there's the Shem Kinui, which is the common name. So the common name is like yours, Linda, or mine, Alex. But my Jewish name is, in fact, a formula which establishes, in my case, I have two personal names. So my name is Alexander Tuvia. Then you put the formula Ben, which means in Hebrew, son of. And then comes the name of my father, which he was Tzvi Shraga. So my whole name, my Shem Kadosh, my name within the Jewish people, it's Alexander Tuvia Ben Tzvi Shraga, and not Alex Rubinstein, the one who's speaking to you.
What about matronymics? Because I had the experience once of a friend who was very, very ill, and I happened to mention this to a woman who's a very religious Jew, and she said, well, what's his mother's name? And she wanted to know his mother's name to be able to say some kind of prayer for him or something, but she asked for the mother's name, not the father's name. How important is the mother's name versus the father's name in Jewish culture or Jewish tradition?
Well, in Jewish culture, tradition, and religion, I should say that there is a very important role on the father, who establishes the part of the lineage of every Jewish person. So it means that I'm either a descendant or not from the tribe, well, not the tribe, from the people who are the Kohens, or the people of the service at the temple, or from the Levi, Levites or from the people of Israel. So there's the lineage. We all Jews have three kinds of possible lineage, and I'm part of the people of Israel. That's the part that I got from my father. But Jewishness comes from the mother. And not only that, why does it come from the mother? Because she gives us basically the type of blood that we all have. Most of the people have the same type like the mothers. So through the blood, you get the Jewishness. Then again, through the blood, you can get ill and you can recover from the illness. So that's why in a prayer, they use the name of the person who's ill as a son of the mother in order to recover from that illness.
What about changing names? I've known several people, Jewish and not Jewish, who've changed their name just for one reason or another. I know that some people, for example, change their name so that they don't seem to be Jewish. At least this used to happen a lot in the United States years ago. So what are some reasons people have to change their names? I know people also who made Aliyah to Israel and completely changed their name to some Hebrew name. Apparently it wasn't really considered good to have a diaspora name in Israel.
That's correct. Well, there are several reasons. It depends on the country you got into. You know, there are several jokes about the people who came into Ellis Island and they got Jewish names being Chinese and so forth. Well, that happens in every country. People who came to Latin countries, they didn't know how to write correctly, let's say, a Chelminski surname. So they wrote wrongly the surname, and they either shortened it or they used a means of expression of the language of the country. So that was because of authorities. But then again, as you correctly stated, there are people who tried to avoid being identified as Jewish people. It didn't serve them good in Europe in the last century, but they served them good on the American society, given that they wanted to be part of the melting pot. So every society has its own rules. What happened here in Israel? Well, Israel had a process at the beginning of the 20th century that was trying to Hebrewize the surnames because they wanted to have a new culture and new people. And of course, after the war, they wanted to avoid being recognized as people of the Holocaust. That was very much criticized and very much applauded, depending on the side of the story that you were in. So the people who were in favor of, they said that the new culture had to be expressed even with the names. So David Ben-Gurion, as you know, was the prime minister of Israel. He established a regulation that all members of the diplomatic force and the army, they should all use surnames of Hebraic content. And by the year 1949, there was a new law, the law Bar Yehuda, that established that every Jew who comes to Israel and becomes an Israeli citizen, he can change his name as easy as just expressing his willingness to do so. And the authority switches his former name to a new one in one single document in less than 5 minutes, which is not very common practice in other countries.
Was there pressure on people to do that?
Pressure?
Pressure.
You mean in Israel?
Yeah, in other words, was there social pressure for them to change their names?
In a way, yes, because that pressure, you could establish that if you were in certain sectors of the society that all of them used Hebraized surnames. So if you still had a Shemshelevich surname, you wouldn't fit in. That's why the Mr. Itzhak Shemshelevich switched his name to Itzhak Ben Tzvi and became the second Israeli president, as it happened with many other people. In fact, the actual prime minister of Israel, you all know them as Benjamin Netanyahu. His real name is Benjamin Mileikovsky, is the real surname of the family. But they switched it in order to sound more Israeli or Hebraized.
But there seems to be a movement back in the other direction now.
Yes, as I said, there were people who were in favor and are people who are against it. And why they're against? Because that makes very complicated for us genealogists to try to delve into the story of every person if they switch their surname. That happened in Spain. People used Jewish names and then had to switch to Christian names. And that became a very difficult subject to know if a person had or not Jewish origins, depending on his surname. That would have happened here in Israel, but it's, as you said, it's having a reverse on that idea. And most people are recognizing their original surnames. And of course, they're remembering the stories of their families and they're proud of it.
Yeah, do you think that has anything to do with the fact that now that Israel is an established nation, they can kind of afford themselves the luxury of accepting all these different people of different origins as being of different origins and appreciating that, just like they are kind of trying to revive Yiddish, that sort of thing?
Yes, but basically I would say that it goes more on the area of being multicultural. In this country, you can find all kinds of people, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of languages, and of course of cultures. And then again, you can find all kinds of surnames, because everyone has to keep his own identity. And that's a new trend in this society, to keep your own identity and to be proud of it.
I think that that's a great thing. I think it's about time. It's happening also in the United States.
That's good.
You know, that people are what they call hyphenated Americans, so that people are kind of appreciating the cultures of their ancestors more than they used to. Another question that I have that I've noticed in Israel is that it seems that there are kind of two, I don't know, ideas or something about giving children their given names. A lot of people seem to give their children biblical names, and there are other people who give their children names of plants and trees and animals. Is this related to some kind of ideology or just because they like the name?
Well, yes, basically it's because they like the name. The new trend is to have names with three letters. And it's kind of difficult to keep on the track of how many names they're creating. But yes, in fact, many of them are related to animals in nature. But it's not because of ideology, but more on the kind of, it sounds nice, it's cool.
Okay, we have very little time left. Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Well, the eternity of the name. We Jewish people are very much proud of our names, because given that we kept our names all through the history, it gave us not only our identity, but our connection with Hashem, with God. And we should do the same thing, and we should keep on giving our sons and grandsons Jewish names in order to fulfill the purpose of the eternity of the people of Israel.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.